Valley 102.
My name is Val French, and my guest today is Helga Gerhardy, who was born a Swiss citizen living in the eastern states of Germany, and she lived her childhood under Hitler's Nazi regime. Now, she's written a book about her experiences, and I have to say straight away, Helga, I found this the most moving story. Let's go back a few years, if we may. Now, as a young girl, you actually met Hitler and ended up giving him a bunch of flowers that wasn't intended for him at all. What's the story behind that?
Well, it was actually an accident. I didn't belong to the Hitler Youth, so on the day Hitler came to Königsberg, the town I lived in, all my friends had to go and join up and sort of stand along the road to keep the crowds away. But I had my piano lesson, and afterwards I thought if I could only get home by crossing the road, I would be much quicker because the trams weren't going. My father had been away, so I bought a little bunch of flowers, and I tried to get through the crowds of people, which was rather difficult, but I did manage in the end to get through, and in the front were the Hitler Youth, the boys and girls, and I crawled underneath and I jumped into the road. Well, unfortunately, at that particular moment, Hitler came around the corner in his car.
Presumably you recognised him immediately from all the posters and everything and the entourage.
Well, everybody was waiting for him, actually, so, I mean, it wasn't a matter of recognition or
but
anything
the man's
like that.
Face was familiar to people at that time.
Oh, yes, because, I mean, there were pictures up everywhere and flags and all the crowds were screaming, Heil Hitler. And
did the car actually stop then?
Yes, he stopped because they saw me with the little flowers in my hand and they assumed that that was the reason why I jumped into the road.
And they weren't for him at all?
Well, no, not really. They were supposed to be my father. Well, an SS man sort of took my hand and pulled me towards the car, and Hitler looked at me and he took the flowers. Well, I must say my arm just came up, you know, and sort of gave him the flowers. And Hitler said to me, "Why aren't you in uniform?" Because every boy and girl at the age of 10 had to join the Hitler Youth and be in uniform, and I wasn't. So I sort of whispered, frightened, you know. I'm Swiss, but I don't think he heard me because there was so much noise and people were screaming. And then he just sort of smiled at me and he said, I don't think he really said anything. It was only just sort of a matter of take the flowers and...
It was just another bunch of flowers to him along the way.
Yes.
Now, I know, Helga, you wanted to become a doctor and you actually attended medical school at the university, but I found one thing rather endearing in your studies. In order to minimise your studies, you decided to concentrate on a writer I've never heard of called Walter Flex. Now, your reason, you said, was that his output was limited. Did you actually like his work?
Yes, I did, because he died very young. He was only 26 when he died, and he wrote about the First World War.
Was it similar to Wilfred Owen's poems about the First World War, the English poet, or not?
No, I don't think so. He wrote a lot of poetry too, and ballads, but of course because he got killed so young, there wasn't a lot of work, but we had to study a number of other German poets like Goethe and Schiller in any case, but you had to specialise in one particular writer. And like I said, because I had such an awful lot to do, I felt, now, who is the one who hasn't written very much? And then it turned out to be Walter Flex, and I did like his work.
Well, I like the logic. Helga, throughout your teens, it must have been very difficult for you when one by one, seven, I think I counted in the book, former boyfriends were killed in the war. Did it make you wary of making new friends?
Well, I think the ones that got killed were really from the boys' school, which was only just around the corner from me. And I wouldn't say that I was very close to all of them, some of them more than others. But I happened to be rather good in writing letters. So as soon as they were called up at 17 or 18, if they didn't have a girlfriend, they used to approach me and say, "Well, will you be at least my pen friend?" Because once they were in the army, everybody wanted to have a girlfriend and to write to them. So some of them were only just pen friends, I would say. Or if they came home on leave and you got a phone call and they said, "Look, let's go to the pictures. I'm only here for a couple of days."
It was you they called.
Well, yes, probably because I wasn't shy.
Now, one thing struck me in the book. Now, you mentioned this only in passing, and that's the Wasserman test, which tests for syphilis and proof of Aryan origins. Now, I find this quite a chilling idea. Was the Wassermann test taken as a normal way of living by the German people?
Only if you wanted to get married. If you wanted to get married, you had to have the Wassermann test to prove that you didn't have syphilis and gonorrhea.
Just the one? Oh, it was both gonorrhea this, as well.
Yes, gonorrhea but, and yes.
But also
yes.
Proof of Aryan origin?
No, that wasn't that test. You had to fill out forms, and I mean, it was birth certificates. Mm. You had to prove that you had no Jewish relationship.
Before you could get married?
Yes,
my
yes.
My goodness. Now, I gather it was also legal at that time for divorce to be granted if a woman was unable to have children. Was it the same for men?
Well, I assume so. I don't know about that part because I only knew about this because I had a friend who was married and she didn't get children. And suddenly her husband applied for divorce and that was one of the reasons.
And she got it? Her husband got it, yes. And this was a law instigated by Hitler,
yes,
presumably.
Yes.
Now, I know you had a bit of trouble getting into medical school because you'd refused at mm-hmm. school to give the Heil Hitler salute. Your father interceded, didn't he, when you were at school by stressing your Swiss parentage. But your friends at that time were happy. Were they too adhere to these dictates, or weren't they seen as threatening then?
No, I don't think so. Because, you see, Germany was very impoverished when Hitler came to power. And he gave people work. And because of that, I think they adored him. They really did. And any young boy or girl, like I mentioned before, at the age of 10, had to join the Hitler Youth. Of course, with that, you were indoctrinated with the love of Hitler so on. And they all accepted it. But they accepted me because, you see, I spoke German, being Swiss, from the German-Swiss part. There was no difference. And I think they all liked me. I was very popular at school, actually, because I was always very, had a very strong character, and I was a bit of a...
That I've gathered from
leader.
Reading your book. I don't think you would have survived without a strong character, but I suppose at 10, the ideology of ideas doesn't really impinge, does it? And you just do what you're told to do, and if you've got to become part of Hitler's youth, you do it.
Well, it was something like the scouts.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And the guides. I mean, they used to go away for weekends and tenting, and they had a lot of fun, actually.
A lot of good stuff in it as well. Now, I suppose the first time war became apparent to you was when you were in a bunker, you tell us in the book, during an air raid and the doors were blocked by rubble. Now, I know many people died in that incident. You were lucky to escape. Do you think the hard protective shell you needed to survive later on started to form at that point?
Could have done, although I've never really thought about it until you just asked me that question. I think I was probably always very independent right from the start. We were four children at home, and of course you find that one person sort of seems to take over, and I seem to have been the one at home who've taken over. But yes, it could have been. I don't know.
Helga, your book is all about survival. This is what the story is all about. You found it difficult, obviously, to write this book and to remember it. What persuaded you eventually to write it all down and obviously relive some of the horror?
I think it was my family. I would always talk about what it was like when I went to school and even that I met Hitler and sort of the more the peaceful things that happened. And I was very good at sport. But when it came to the part that I had to leave Königsberg because the Russians were coming nearer, I would always stop. And my family used to say, now what happened then? So I would just start off a little bit and then I used to stop and say, no, look, that was rather horrible. I don't like to talk about it. So it was one of my sons who said one day, why don't you write it? And it will be left to us later to read. So I started off. But again, when I came to the time as a refugee, I seemed to stop again. But then it absolutely flowed out.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you have done. Because although it's quite a chilling book in its way, I think it's a story that it's good that it is told. Now, another chilling aspect was, for me anyway, your mother gave you, it wasn't a cyanide pill, you'll explain that in a moment, but she gave you a pill that you could take, knowing that the atrocities that had happened to other women, not just rape, but mutilations, degradation, unmanageable kinds. And did you ever think you'd really swallow that death capsule?
Yes, I did. It became a talisman. It was a little phial with some cyanide powder in it, and I wore it round my neck. And whenever I was in a situation which I felt, I don't know whether I get out of this, I used to just, my hand was to just touch it.
Just finger it to know.
Yes, and I used to think, that's fine. In the last minute, I can always take this, and then it's the end. Oh, yes, I would have used it.
You would have done that. You haven't still got it, presumably. You have got rid of it now.
No, I'm afraid I haven't got it anymore. It was my husband who took it away. He had plating factory where he knew what cyanide was like, and when he discovered that I still got it, he took it away.
I think that's a very sensible precaution. Now, due to the various circumstances that were prevailing at that time, your family was split up, and you on your own, you set up determined to find them, pulling a sleigh. Now, it was, to say the least, a difficult journey, but you lost your sleigh, didn't you, into icy water. That must have been an enormous setback.
Well, that was when we had to cross what's called the Huff, which had an outlet to the Baltic, because the Russians were already surrounding us, and this was the only way how we could get to the land on the other side. They knew we were refugees, but they bombed us, and of course, when the ice breaks, you just fall in. Well, the ice cracked, and I was pulling my sleigh, and a shout from Felix, with whom I was together at that time, made me let my sleigh go. Otherwise, I'm afraid I would have been pulled in. And once you are in the water, well, you don't last. You only last a few minutes because of hypothermia. You're just finished. So in a way, although it was upsetting, it saved my life.
Well, it was the sleigh or your life, and
yes,
really there was no choice. Now, I know on that journey you saw many things you found difficult to write down, but the will to survive, I keep seeing this over and over again in the book, the will to survive seems to strengthen as the task becomes harder until you actually reached Greifswald. Now, when you reached the family, when you reached the platform, I gather something happened. What was that?
Well, I was already quite ill by the time I got to Greifswald. I didn't realise how ill I was. I had a bad cough and could hardly breathe. And the moment I stepped out of the plane, train, I don't know what happened. I always remember, I insisted that I didn't fall down because I insisted that the floor came up.
Of course it did.
And that was the end.
But basically you collapsed, didn't you?
Collapsed.
And were then taken to hospital. Helga, we'll continue talking to you in just a moment, if we may. My guest today on the Midday Show is Helga Gerhardy. I'm chatting to her about a book she's written about her experiences called Helga. And I'll be chatting with her again in just a moment.